Tonight, our consideration, our focus is going to be on the first 11 verses of that book, verses 1 through 11 of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And you will note as we go along that the question that this preacher, who identifies himself as son of David and king in Jerusalem, and most likely Solomon is the man behind this book, the big question he is wrestling with, actually, in his own heart, in his own mind, is this. Is there life before death? Is there life before death? We are accustomed to people asking the question, is there life after death? But that's not the question the preacher is asking here. He's asking also an equally important question. Because as far as he was concerned, in his experience, everything was meaningless. Meaningless, meaningless, says the preacher, everything is meaningless. And as I said last week, as we're introducing this book, verse 2 of chapter 1 is the text of the sermon that the preacher wants to give to us in the rest of the book. Vanity of vanities. Meaningless, meaningless, says the preacher, all is meaningless. And the lesson we're going to learn from this is that life under the sun is meaningless apart from God. Life under the sun is meaningless apart from God. You cannot make sense of life without God. If you try to live your life without God, it is a life without hope. It actually is non-life. But for us who have come to know God, we can step back and remind ourselves that there is full meaning in life because of God. God makes all the difference with the way you answer the question, is there life before death? And if there is, what constitutes that life? What is that life supposed to look like? When you understand that God makes all the difference in life, then you are able to interpret life situations clearly and accurately. You understand the big purposes of God in light of your particular experiences. And it is those big purposes that God has which inform and help to interpret your present circumstances when everything seems to make no sense. Before we proceed, let us stop and ask the Lord to bless us as we examine this passage and try to answer this question, is there life before death? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for moments like these, when we can stop, in fact, when you can stop us and have us sit down and speak to us in the quietness of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you help me to articulate your word clearly, with boldness, with confidence, with humility, with faith and trust in you, O God, the living God, the one who gives meaning and purpose to our lives. And I pray that you bless all who listen, that all of us, as we sit under the preaching of your word and as we hear you addressing us from your word, that our posture might be one of submission that we may yield to your will and to your way, that we will not wrestle with you in rebellion, but rather we'll wrestle with you in faith, trusting you, O God, and seeking to understand what you have spoken to us. And that thereby we may become wise to live this life in a manner that is worthy of your children, in a manner that is pleasing to you, our God. Lord, we don't want to waste our lives. So help us. Come, Lord, and help us. Win us. Save us from the trivialities of life. That we may focus our attention on those things that are really important. Those things that are eternal. So we pray with the psalmist, Lord, make me know my end and the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Teach us, O God, to number our days, that we may present before you hearts of wisdom. Be merciful to us this evening. Forgive us all of our sins and transgressions. Wash us clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who died, the Lamb of God who came into this world to take the sin of the world, and yet in him there is no sin. So be blessed, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. Heard a story, you may have heard the story of a policeman. He came across this man on a bridge who was about to jump off the bridge and kill himself. And the policeman stopped the man and said, hey, can you just stop for about 15 minutes? Let's talk about what is it exactly that has gone wrong in your life that you want to kill yourself. I'll give you 15 minutes to tell me what is it that has gone wrong. How bad has life gotten that you want to kill yourself? And I'll tell you why you should not take your life. And so the story goes that the man came down and began to talk with the policeman. And he gave him his 15-minute lecture on what had gone wrong with life. And then the policeman, it was now the policeman's turn, and they talked. Half an hour later, both of them jumped into the water. What had happened? Clearly, this other man had a stronger case and was able somehow to convince the policeman that there was no meaning to life. The policeman had not really contemplated the value of and purpose of life. He was on the path of duty and he was just doing what was expected of him. But he hadn't really taken the time to process the big issues and to answer the big questions in his own life. And you may be here tonight. Everything looks good. You are a child of God. You believe in God. But have you considered the big questions of life? Have you taken the time to consider why it is that your life matters? Why does your life matter to you? Why does your life matter to the Church of Christ? Why does your life matter to the world? Why does your life matter to God? If you haven't thought about that, then chances are that you're just going to go with the flow and waste your life. You're going to coast through life with no meaning, with no purpose, and the end is going to be tragic. Meaningless, meaningless will be your song. Meaningless, meaningless, says the preacher, all is meaningless. But I pray with all my heart that that will not be the case for any of us here tonight. That we'll be taught by the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God to begin to understand that life actually is wonderful. Life is precious. And what makes life precious is not life itself, but the giver of our lives, one who is the Lord God, who made heavens and earth, who made us in His image, and He made us for Himself, that we may find joy, rest, and satisfaction in Him and Him alone. The problem with the people today is that they are trying to live their lives apart from God. They're trying to pursue joy, peace, and happiness, and satisfaction everywhere else except in the only one who can give them what they are looking for. And if that is the path you take, the conclusion, the inevitable conclusion you come to is life is meaningless. Because it will just be a matter of time before you realize that you're actually running, going from nothingness to nothingness. You will not be able to untangle the various threads of life that God has so carefully and beautifully, wisely weaved together. You cannot untangle the issues of life without consulting the wisdom of the grand weaver who is God Himself. Many people, sadly, including Christians, are living for the weekend. You know what that means? Wasting their lives. Living as if God doesn't exist. And that's a tragedy. As we study this book of Ecclesiastes, one of the things you see over and over is that this man, he's writing not fiction. This is reality, and he wants us to face reality as well. He wants to make realists out of us, because sometimes we have this grandiose picture of life that is not really real. It is not realistic. It's idealistic, but it's not realistic. And so he's going to help us to come down and touch the ground and begin to deal with the day-to-day practical challenges of living this life under God. He's a man who, as it were, has done the experiment. He's been there, he's done that, and he's learned a few things that he wants to share with us. And so we would be wise to pay careful attention to what he's about to say. Before we go any further, let me just remind you that man's chief end, as we are taught in the Westminster Catechism, question 1, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. John Piper, one of the modern day preachers and theologians, has played with that a little bit, and he says, and I think this is helpful, man's chief end is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. In other words, what he's trying to communicate to us is that glorifying God and enjoying life are not at odds. In fact, if you really want to enjoy life, then you must choose to live your life to the glory of God. And at the same time, when you choose to live a life that glorifies God, then you will begin to experience true joy and enjoyment of God and His blessings. That is the chief of end of man. Vanity of vanities, everything is vanity, says the preacher, because he understands that everything under the sun is vanity apart from God. So this is a call for us to live a Godward life, a God-focused life, and to understand that God is all and in all, that He is the only one that can truly give us deep satisfaction. Without that, there is no hope for us. So what is life all about? What is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? Under the sun, life is empty without God. If you want to live life apart from God here in this world, If you want to search the meaning of life anywhere and everywhere, but in saving relationship with God, you will end up frustrated because you will not find the answer. Here where we live in the Western world, take the time sometime and just observe people, what they're doing, what they're chasing, how they're living their lives. You will come to this inevitable conclusion: they're going from nowhere to nowhere. There is really no meaning in their lives. And this is something that it's a disease that has infiltrated, penetrated to the deepest places in our society. That so much so that we really don't care how we live our lives anymore. Because if there is no purpose in life, if there is no life before death, and if there is no life after death, then who cares how you live your life today? You live in the moment and you seek to enjoy life as much as you can. So life is just one big party. When Monday comes, you are just mourning and waiting for the weekend to come. It's like the 5 days of the week, Monday to Friday, are the most painful days. You can't wait to get to the weekend so you can enjoy life. But do you know that you could actually enjoy life every single day of the week if you understand that God has put meaning in life? Many philosophers like Friedrich Nietzsche have distorted our thinking and have held the Western mind captive to this nothingness, to this purposelessness. And basically, if you study Friedrich Nietzsche and philosophers like him, what they are trying to get us to buy is that life has no meaning. Therefore, hey, throw it away. But a man and a woman of God will not, cannot come to that conclusion. And many who have tried that experiment have ended up regretting their lives. And they have come to the end of their lives and they look back and everything's regret, regret, and regret. I've shared with you, I think, a few times that I love from time to time to go and visit graveyards, grave sites where people have been buried, and to read what is written on their tombstones. Because that gives you some insight into the kind of life that person lived. And I want to ask you right now, as you're sitting right there listening to me, take a moment to think about what it is you would want people to write on your grave. Tonight, when you go home, try writing your own epitaph. What would you write? How would you want people to remember you? What legacy do you want to leave behind? What legacy do I want to leave behind? I had a really fun time looking at some epitaphs that were written about people who died long ago. And I will not bore you with all of them, but this one just made me, well, it made me laugh, but it was just so tragic. All these people could write on the grave of this one person, I'll just call him Jack. Here lies Jack. We buried him here because he died. Well, that tells me something about Jack. It's like they could not find something better to write except just say something, anything. And this is what they came up with. I would not want something like that to be written on my grave. I hope that one day when I'm dead, whatever is written on my epitaph would have something of the nature: here lies Fletcher. He lived his life to glorify God. I can then live my life in that way and day by day seek to glorify God. What about you? How do you want to live your life? How do you want to be remembered when this life, when your life comes to an end? Because whether you like it or not, you will die. Young or old, male or female, black or white, whoever you might be, death is no respecter of persons. And each one of us, death is going to catch up with us sooner or later. Are you ready? Are you living your life in a manner that is worthy of the purpose for which God created you? And so as we think about the preacher, we need to understand that this man has been there, he's done the experiment, and he's teaching us things that we need to understand. And he is competent. Notice the credibility of the preacher's testimony. He says, you know, I've had a wide range of experience, and this experience uniquely enables me to explore the question of the meaning of life with you. He's speaking from a position of knowledge, not speculation. He's speaking from knowledge, he's speaking from experience, and that is what qualifies him to ask and answer these hard questions. And so, again, you see that he's logically trying to get this point across to us. What is the result of the pursuit of this kind of life? His assessment, what was the assessment of the preacher after he's done his experiment? Where does this kind of life that is lived under the sun without God, only at a horizontal level, where does this life end up? And so in verse 3 you will see, what does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? The answer is nothing. It leads only to emptiness. What advantage does a man have in all his work that he's doing under the sun? What he's telling us is that significance, meaning, purpose cannot come from any earthly endeavor. You know, God has given us things to do in this world. But dear friends, none of each one of those earthly pursuits apart from God can truly satisfy. And so as you are working, work with understanding that your fulfillment is found in God. If you are married, you are a husband or a wife, understand that your fulfillment in that marriage is going to come from God. And I'll tell you why. One of the major reasons many Christian marriages are struggling today is because they expect from each other what can only be found in God. The kind of satisfaction that only God can provide. They've totally missed it. You're beginning to worship the creature, not the creator. So, what do we do? What is the answer? How do we then begin to take this course of a life that honors God? I'll just submit to you this one thought for you to think about. Live your life at the foot of the cross of Jesus. There you find the ultimate meaning and the ultimate satisfaction of your life. Without the cross of Christ, dear ones, life is hopeless. It is a hopeless enterprise. We need to live our lives in light of the cross. That's why Hebrews tells us that as we're running this race of life, Hebrews chapter 12, what are we to do? We are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he is now pouring out his Holy Spirit into the hearts and the lives of all who want to follow him. Father, God in heaven, we thank you for your words tonight. We thank you for loving us so much as to reveal these things to us tonight. Oh God, help us, make us wise that we would not throw our lives away to the wind. But that we'll be wise, we'll be taught by the Holy Spirit and helped by Him to live our lives in the manner that is pleasing to You. That when we come to our deathbed, when we come to the end of our lives, we'll be able to look back, not with regrets, but with thankfulness because of what You will have done in our lives. And Lord, You know each one of Your people here tonight. You know where each one of us is. You know our struggles. You know our sins. You know our weaknesses. You know the things that captivate our hearts, the things that we're pursuing and chasing. We ask, first of all, Lord, for forgiveness. That many times, more often than not, we've lived our lives pursuing trivial things. Lord, we pray tonight that You liberate us from that bondage, from that pursuit of a wasted life. And we thank You, O God, that because of Jesus Christ, it is possible for us to live a life full of purpose, full of meaning, because He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. How thankful we are that our lives are hidden in Christ, who is all in all, blessed forever. So we ask tonight, O God, that You be merciful to us and make us wise that we would not waste even one moment on the pleasures of sin and the frivolous pursuits of this world, which lead nowhere. May we give our lives wholeheartedly to pursuing Your glory above everything else until the day that we shall come to meet You face to face. When that day comes, may we be ready, we pray. Hear us, be merciful to us, not because we are worthy, but because of Jesus Christ, our Savior, one who is worthy. In His name we pray. Amen.